following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good morning, again. And welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. I'm so glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. I want to remind you again about the sermon series that are coming up in the next few months. When we get into June and July, we're going to be doing a series on parables. So spending some time looking at those wonderful, challenging stories that Jesus himself uses to teach his disciples, to teach the crowds that he encounters, to teach individuals that he meets, and to teach us as well. And then in August, we're going to be doing, for our second year in a row, a Same Passage, Five Ways series. So we'll have five different preachers working with the same verse or passage. And last year, I believe it really helped illuminate and bring life and depth to Micah 6:8, to the verse Micah 6:8. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what verse or what passage we're going to be hearing about and hearing from this August. And really, that's up to you. On your seat or on the seat next to you, you will see a little card, a little bright yellow card. It's hard to miss. So on that card, you have the opportunity to nominate a passage or a verse or a story that you're interested in hearing preached in the month of August. And you'll hopefully remember last week that I also mentioned that we would love to use this as an opportunity to dream together as a church family about a biblical story that we would like to live into together. So there's a basket on the Welcome Center, and there will be a basket there on the Welcome Center all the way until May 31st. So you have 3 whole weeks to take this card, to lose this card, to bring it back, to grab another one, and lose that one too. But maybe by the third try, you'll be able to put one into the basket, and we'll have a bunch of different options that we'll then vote on for the first couple months of June. And then we'll get to see and get excited about what we're going to hear from God in the month of August. Today, though, we are beginning our 3-in-1 series. So we're spending this week and then the following 3 weeks looking at the nature of God. Today, specifically, we're looking at God the Father, which I recognize sounds at least a little bit funny because today is Mother's Day. And we know and we recognize and we celebrate and we remember mothers today. But while that's a happy and a joyful day for many who have had wonderful mothers, wonderful relationships with their mothers, it also can be a painful day and a difficult day for those mothers who have passed away recently, perhaps, for those who don't have good relationships with their mothers or with their children, or for those who are not mothers. We acknowledge that all of that emotion, all of that gets brought into today. And what's wonderful is that today we'll hear about a God that holds all of that, that holds all of that celebration, the remembrance, along with the sadness and the pain. We serve and we worship and we know a God who holds us in the good and the bad, who loves us unconditionally. So let me pray for us this morning, and we'll continue looking at who God is. Loving Creator of all, watch over us this day and keep us in the light of your presence. May our praise continually blend with the song of all creation until we come to those eternal joys which you promise in your love, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. So this morning, like I said, we're going to be beginning this 3-in-1 series looking at God the Father. Next week, we'll look at Jesus. The week following, the Holy Spirit. And finally, the Trinity altogether, the mystery and the beauty of God, of the triune God. And I fully recognize that today we're just going to scratch the surface with what may be some relatively basic things about God. And for many, these will be reminders. For others, maybe these will be things that are heard for the first time. Or maybe they'll be heard in a different way that opens you up to a relationship with God in a different way. But my hope and my prayer for all of us is that these weeks will be an encouragement to spend time throughout the week reading and praying and continuing to explore God. This week, God the Father. So I want to look at five specific things that I know, five specific things that we should all know about God. It's not an exhaustive list, but I am sure that this is an important list. So first of all, God is personal. God is personal. So we read in Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10. So I'll be using different scripture passages along the way. So you can flip along with me, or you can just listen to the word of God read aloud. But if you don't have a Bible and would like one, I know Dave would love to bring you one, or one of our other ushers would love to bring you one if you raise your hand. But let me read from Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. The psalmist, in these beautiful words, reminds us that God is personal. That God the Father, who created the universe, is personal. Is personal in that he wants relationship with you and with me. Just consider that for a moment. The creator, the maker of heaven and earth, is personal. He knows you. He loves you. He holds you. And he will guide you. God is personal. Knowing that God is personal helps make a distinction from all the other gods out there that people worship, all the other idols that people worship. Idols are not personal. Idols don't desire relationship with us. Rather, idols are created out of our own minds, out of our own desires. They cannot desire relationship with us the way God does. God is also distinct from these idols and from all other objects of worship because we are the ones made in God's image. Whereas the other gods or objects of worship are made in our image. They are things that we have decided, we have put upon to worship. Ultimately, we control those objects of worship. God, though, is not controllable. And yet he desires relationship on a personal level. God is distinct. God is set apart. And that brings us to our next truth, that God is holy. In putting together these five different pieces, it was really important to me to have the idea that God is personal followed by God is holy, to have those two back to back. Because both of these things are completely true. God is absolutely personal, and God is absolutely holy. And it's easy to focus on one of these two words, the fact that God so desires relationship with us as individuals, or the fact that God is so far above and beyond all that we can ever imagine, and then by accident, perhaps, ignore or downplay the other. But part of the beauty of who God is that both of these are completely true. At the same time, God is both personal and God is holy. And by holy, I mean set apart, unique, wonderful, greater than. God is set apart from all of creation, so much so that words fail to describe who God is. We can read in Exodus chapter 3 of Moses and God's interaction at the burning bush. And starting in verse 13, Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell him? Tell them." And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." And there God goes on to explain to Moses more of how to speak to the leaders of the Israelites and how to explain and describe God's self to them. God says, "I am who I am." It also can be translated, "I will be who I will be." God alone is God. There are not words that can encompass all that God is. God is God. And sometimes that can be a frustrating thing, and sometimes that can be a very comforting thing. We know what we know about God by what he reveals to us through his word, through prayer. But God alone is holy, and his holiness sets him apart. His holiness is to be feared and to be respected, to be revered and to be honored. And although God is holy, although God is completely set apart from us as creation, we also need to be reminded that God is both transcendent and immanent. And you may see in both of these words the beauty and the intricacy that is at play with the words personal and holy. God is transcendent. God is above all. God is over all. God is beyond all that we see or touch or experience. God is more than all of that. God as creator transcends all that God created. Everything, then, is dependent upon him. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God transcends creation. But at the same time, God is also immanent in creation. God is in the midst of and active in all that God created. God didn't create the universe and then sit back with a bowl of popcorn and just sort of watch things unfold. No, from the very beginning, God has been immanent in creation, interacting with it, caring for all of creation. Immanent in every moment, in every situation, every prayer, working within creation for the shalom that God desires for all, the peace, the wholeness, the justice that God desires for all that God created. And because God is immanent, God is inescapable. He is here. He will always be here in our midst. And so, again, those words from Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10, remind us of that immanence. "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." God's hand guides, and God's hand holds us. And that serves as a reminder for the next reminder, the next truth about God. That God is providential. God cares. God comforts. God guides. God shapes, and he holds us. We see God's providence in the order of creation, in the way that the world itself works, the ways that the planets move, the ways that the earth rotates on its axis, the ways that there are these little ecosystems that just that work. that work in incredible beauty and intricacy because they are created by God to work in that way. And that's part of God's providential care for creation. And so certainly, in some ways, God's providence is easily recognizable. We're able to see it and name it at times. And other times, it just flat out isn't. Whether we're blind to it, or whether God just isn't willing to reveal that to us yet. In times like suffering, and in disasters, both human-made or natural, in injustice, sometimes it's really hard to see where God's providence is. But the good news about that is that God's providence is not reliant on our expectations. It's not defined by our limited understanding, frustrating as that may be at times. And as God chooses to reveal more and more to us, his providence becomes clearer and clearer. In fact, it's an act of providence for God to reveal any part of his will to us so that we might come to know him more. The book of Jeremiah has a beautiful illustration of the way that God is at work and the way that God cares for creation. In chapter 18, starting in verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. The word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like the clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. As the potter continually molds and shapes and reworks the clay, God constantly has his hands at work in the world, in our lives, molding and shaping and creating on an ongoing basis. And he does all of this for his perfect will. And that brings us to our final truth for today, that God is perfect. God is perfectly holy. We've talked about God's holiness. But God is perfectly righteous. God is perfectly loving. God is perfect. God's righteousness is perfect. And it is beyond how we understand righteousness. God's justice is perfect, though ours is not. God's righteousness surpasses justice the way we see it. It includes wholeness, and it includes redemption. That is perfect righteousness. And God is perfectly loving. In fact, God is love. John writes those words in 1 John 4:16. God is love. And so just like holiness and just like righteousness, love is ingrained in what we know of the character and the attributes of God, so that everything that God does is love. Everything God does in us and for us is an act of love. And we know that that love comes freely, that love comes first. 1 John 4:19 reminds us that we love because he first loved us. God loves perfectly. And because that love is completely unmerited, it is a perfect expression of grace. This morning we worship a God who is personal. We worship a God who is holy. We worship a God who is transcendent and immanent. We worship a God who is providential. And we worship a perfect God. What an incredible, amazing, awesome God. Let us continue in worship this morning in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we praise you. We praise you as personal. We praise you as holy. We praise you for being above all, and we praise you for being at work in all. God, we are so thankful that you care. That you care and that you are constantly working for your perfect purposes in this universe. And Lord, we pray and we praise you because we know and we acknowledge that you are perfect. We know that you are perfect in your holiness, and perfect in your righteousness, and perfect in your love. And Lord, we bask in the warmth of your love this morning. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.